Let's say hello to the general manager of the Flames. It's Pat Steinberg, Wes Gilbertson, and now Craig Conroy is with us here in the Hot Stove Lounge after what has been, a long and busy day for you. You just got finished with a long chat with the media at large. So how do you kind of sum up this day? What is today like for you as the GM?
You know, this is a hard day because you know what the players feel like. This is the last thing they want to be doing. You know, last game of the year, season's over. Nobody likes it. So, I mean, I do think it's hard, but it's a great opportunity for me to talk to each of the players and just really have a talk with them, you know, other than just small talk and see how they're doing, to really see what they're thinking, what they thought about their season, what they think about the team. You know, is there things we can do better? Is there things that we're not doing that... You know, because other teams talk, other players talk to other team, the guys on other teams.
And yeah.
Is there something we can do better here? Is there something we can change? Is something we improve? Are we not doing something? So, you know, it's a great gathering of information, and then kind of, you know, sift through everything and see what we can do better going forward next year.
Did you get a sense? Because, you know, and a lot of people want to compare today to about a year ago, and the tone a year ago seems very different than what you're hearing today. Are you getting that same thing? Like, when you talk to some of your veteran players, are you getting the sense that there are guys like, yeah, I want to be a part of this solution. I want to be a part of getting us back to the postseason. Are you hearing a lot of that today?
Absolutely. That's where heard a lot of, you know, maybe we didn't hear that last year, but this year, hey, well, you know what, we're definitely not where we want to be, but we want to be part of this, you know, moving forward. So that's positive. You know, that's the one thing I think, seeing some of the young guys come in, you know, some guys had career years this year. It's pretty impressive what they did, but we as a team, we fell short. So how do we get to that next level? That's the real goal. You know, it's never easy. You know, everybody wants it to be like, just snap your finger and wham, you're in. It takes some time and a little work, but, you know, we feel like we're on the right path, and we have some real good core pieces here to build on.
You had all kinds of difficult circumstances to deal with this year. But even knowing that, like, do you still look at today as a failure? Do you still look at the fact that you're not playing in the playoffs? Is that still one of those things you're like, no, that we did not meet expectations, and today is a disappointing day?
You have to have the expectations as a pro athlete. You can't go in with a negative attitude thinking we're not going to make the playoffs. If you do, you're never going to win, and you don't want those players on your team. And I don't think any of our players, you know, everything they said is they want to make the playoffs next year. And that's what it's about. I mean, it really is, you know, and I said, I got fortunate to play a long time in the NHL. I never even thought about not making the playoffs game one. You know, there was times towards the end of the season, it was going to be a battle, and we didn't get in a few times, and we did make it. I was fortunate to play, you know, probably more than not in the playoffs. But yeah, it's just not the way guys are wired that got to this level. You know, it's always about success, winning, you know, and half the teams don't make it. So it's not an easy thing to do.
Do you, as you reflect back on this season, do you, because I remember you sitting right there on deadline day and you were exhausted and it's just like, I'm just so happy the whole thing's over. But now that you can reflect on all of what went into this year and all the different things that you had, all the different fires you had to put out throughout the year, can you, how difficult a task that is to have as much as you had on your plate in year one running a team?
Well, first is a lot, but very fortunate for me, I have a great group of people with me. I mean, that's the thing. If you were to try to do this job, I can't imagine if you were by yourself. So it really is the people that you're with, and everybody in our staff upstairs. I mean, and that's not even the guys that are just in the office every day. It's the amateur scouts. It's the pro scouts. It's the support you get from everybody. I'm Peter Hanlon, his staff. Like, it's the coaches. It's everything, because it is a lot, you know, and it's stressful, and you're dealing with people's lives, and you're always trying to do the best deal for the Calgary Flames, mm-hmm. you know, but. And it's frustrating when you know what you think you want in your mind and you're just not going to get it, or it's just not going to happen, you know? So I think there was, And there's a learning curve. You're also feeling out all the other GMs. How does the process work? You know, you've never done it before. You're trying to gather all the information and do what you think's best for the team. So there's a lot to it, but definitely I think moving forward, now that I kind of have a better understanding, a better feel for how everything works, not saying it's going to get easier, but definitely feel more comfortable knowing it, you know.
How do you, now that you, because I would imagine that as you go on, you kind of look back at your work and say, yeah, I like how I did this. I like how I handled this. Would have done this differently. But as you take a look at all the different, you know, pretty large organizational decisions you had to make and all the trades that you had to eventually pull the trigger on, like, how, now that you can look at it in totality, like, how do you reflect on the overall the work that you did and how it all came together? Like, how do you reflect on all of that stuff now?
You know, I mean, obviously you did the deals because you thought it was the best deal you had. You know, but you look back and you think, could I have done it? You know, you're always second guessing. I mean, it's like anything. It's human nature. You're thinking, okay, what if I did this or that? But in the end, you know, you can ask for what you can ask for. And if someone doesn't want to give it to you, you have to take the best deal at the end. Because that was one of my things, was just out of spite, I wasn't going to just keep guys and say, well, it wasn't quite what I wanted, so I'm going to keep player X. Because, you know, it just didn't seem to make any sense. I wanted to, you know, and I can see where, I mean, I think we did it with Brian Burke one year with Mike Camilleri. I think we could have gotten a draft pick for him. Not a great draft pick, but a draft pick. And in my mind, I've gone back and forth a million times. You know, Berkey said you're setting the tone moving forward, but I'm thinking, but we would have gotten a pick and he wasn't re-signing. You know, those are the things. I mean, and I still go through my mind right now. I mean, with Don Maloney, he's made a ton of trades. Dave Nonis made a ton. So you're asking, what do you think here? What do you think there? Like, what, you know, is this the best deal? Can we go in a different direction? When do you do the deals? You know, that was the one thing I think we were able to kind of get some deals done as went along. I don't know if I could have done all five deals or whatever at the trade deadline. Like, that would have been... You know, maybe other GMs could. I didn't feel comfortable with that. So to be able to get some done and before definitely made it easier for me.
Craig, I know we've talked lots about the sort of how we got here in terms of the contract talks and the trade talks and all that. I just want to grab on to something that you said a few minutes ago and you've said several times, which is we feel good about this path we're on. We feel good about this direction. Can you just expand on what makes you feel so good about, you know, where this ship might be sailing?
Well, I think the one thing is you do have guys, and I think you heard it in the exit meetings, guys that want to be here, guys that want to get this team to where we want to go. So that's the first thing. You know, you didn't hear people saying they didn't want to be a Calgary Flame anymore. And the one thing, we have a great city. We have a great, you know, everything that be, and I'm American. So, you know, I can firsthand say, I love living in Calgary. I love being in Calgary. I've been here, you know, over 20 years now. So for that, that's the thing. That's what's disappointing. I think this is a great place to play. We got a great, you know, I was thinking, I walked up to my box the other night, looking out over the fans, and great crowd, still into it. We're not in the playoffs. Obviously, we're all disappointed with that, but they're cheering. They're there at the end. You know, it's a special place to play, and I got to get that out to the league, because I think people know it, but you want to, if you're excited about being here, Husk is excited about being here, hopefully that translates out across the league. And I think the guys that are here are sending that message out there too. So, you know, it's a path where, hey, we have some draft picks, we have some good young players, you know, we're trying to build it here. We're trying to build something special, and you know, that's the goal of every team. But we feel like we're headed in the right direction through a tough time when we had UFAs, that we had to make tough decisions. You know, we did the best deals we believe we could do. I know how people wanted, you know, everybody wanted the 20-year-old top prospect on every team. Well, if you show me where they all went this year, I would, you know, I'd say, oh, okay, these teams got those top guys.
Yeah.
People weren't just moving them. You know, every now and then they did do young top prospect for young top prospect. Like, that's different, mm-hmm. you know, but they didn't do UFAs for young top prospects.
You mentioned, you know, you believe, and lots of others do, this is a great place to play Mackenzie Weegar. And you're probably still catching up on what some of the guys said today, but he sort of mentioned he feels like there's a black cloud perception elsewhere in the league about Calgary. And so that message you talk about, how do you get that out?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the best thing, if Uyghurs said, you know, I, for whatever reason, it just seemed like last year, I think that was after the season was over, with the playoffs, with all the UFAs, that was the narrative the media put out. And once that's out there, you're, whether we think it's true or not, you know, people say, oh, look, this is what's going on in Calgary. And it's unfair to the city of Calgary, to the Flames organization, and to the players that are here, you know, mm-hmm. because it is a great play, a place to play. Look at our alumni. Look at who we have here. You know, I'd love someone to say, well, Lanny, you don't like it here or what? Here he is, you yeah. know, like, so it's a great place to live, great place to be. The players are treated unbelievable here. I mean, as much as, you know, it's a Canadian market, it's a very, very friendly Canadian market to play in. I mean, you know, at least for my time, the media doesn't, they want us to do well. Everybody, you guys want us to do well. We want to win. You know, it's not, you're not looking for the negatives all the times. Hey, for sure, we're going to have times where we're not playing well and we need to hear it. That's fine. We didn't make the playoffs. That's not acceptable. We should hear that, you know, but I like that pressure. That's the pressure you want because, you know what? Okay, we're going to get back to the drawing board and regroup and move forward.
Well, you talk about, obviously, the goal is to get in the playoffs, and everybody is bummed to have missed out. You know, there's the old saying, adversity reveals character. What did you learn about, especially the guys who are now sort of cemented as core pieces? What did you learn about those guys this season?
Well, the funny thing is, people don't even know down the stretch how many guys were hurt. And, you know, still you could play, but they could have easily said, no, I don't want to play. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't true. Even Blake Coleman coming back, he could have said, I don't know, but he won, hey, you know, obviously 30 goals and everything, but if he had to want to do that, and he did, you know, and that's the thing. I think all these guys, that core cadre, you know, Hubert, everybody was playing right till the end. No one said they wanted to take a day off or they weren't banged up or they were hurt. And hey, it's 82 games. Guys are banged up and hurt and they're not 100%, but they never quit on each other. They always were battling for each other. And that's all you can ask for a team. I mean, you know, and I felt like there was still life. I said it in the earlier press conference that game 80, I think it was game after game 80, we're in there. And the guys are having fun still. They're still competing on the ice in practice. They're still playing a game after practice was over. They were scoring, you know, they were kind of do the rebound goal drill. And they were scoring and cheering and having fun. And I said, not where we want to be, but they're not giving up. They're still here to have fun and play. And that's what we need to do. We need to build that. You know, we talk about culture and what it's going to be like. And it really is the guys that build that culture. It is, you know, we can try to put it into place, but they have to be the ones that drive it and build it here.
We're chatting with Craig Conroy, Calgary Flames general manager. You know, and I know you were asked about Jacob Markstrom in the news conference. You know, when you have a situation where, you know, something kind of takes on a life of its own, like that did leading up to the trade deadline. And, you know, he voiced some displeasure with just how it all kind of played itself out. What's the, I don't know, is it damage control? What's the conversation like with a guy like that, knowing how important he is to your team? Like, I'm just curious what the tact is now when you speak with him in exit interviews. I know you can't reveal specifics, but, like, is there some damage control that needs to be done in that respect?
Well, for sure. I mean, no one, you know, like I said, it wasn't just Jacob. It was lots of guys had their names out there. And that's, you know, it wasn't like that when I played as much. You know, it'd be on TV or in the paper. But now with social media, with the internet, with our phones,
yeah,
it's just anybody can put anything out there and then it can create, it's a life of its own. So, you know, you're trying to, that's what I feel the worst about for our guys. It was a tough year. always being in the media. Even last year during the playoffs, if we were out of the playoffs and we were pretty much in the media every day. You know, you'd like to just let the guys get away from it a little bit. But, you know, that is the pressure of playing in a Canadian market also. So, yeah, you know, you have those conversations and you want to just make sure you clear the air with them and they know where you stand and you know where they stand. And that's kind of what it is. I mean, Jacob's an unbelievable competitor, good person. You know, like I said, he great teammate. There's no issues. I mean, he frustration with maybe with what was going on. 100%. That's his thing. I mean, he lost Tanev. You know, I totally understand, you know, where everything's coming from. But, you know, we had a good talk and, you know, I know where he stands and, you know, we'll just move forward.
With a guy like Yegor Sharangovich, who has just an unbelievable first year for you, and you know that worked out, that trade worked out as well as anybody could have imagined. You signed him to that 2-year extension like the day after you acquired him. Is that something you double back on now this summer and say, hey, you know what, maybe this is something we think about doing longer term, knowing how important he could be going forward?
Yeah, you know, we're gonna have our pro meetings coming up, so we're gonna talk about all that stuff, like who should we be re-signing. I mean, obviously we already have an idea, but then you know, he did have a great year, you know, so you'll start having those conversations and you're always kind of, you know, there's a July 1st, you really can't do anything until July 1st with a guy with another contract, so there's still time, but all those conversations will be coming up, you know, because we're trying to, you know, as much as it's this year here up above, it's, you know, 3 to 5 years and, you know, you're looking down the road. Okay. How are we going to build this thing? And that's really the secret for us is, you know, but we're going to have all those conversations coming up soon. And then, you know, start putting a plan together.
And I remember when you were asked, I believe it was on deadline day, about Oliver Shillington, you kind of gave a little bit more clarity. So you had that chat with him and you got what you wanted to hear, right? Like because you don't know, it's been a roller coaster for him. And you got the, hey, this is where I want to be, that I belong here and I want to keep playing hockey. Is that kind of what you needed to hear to then go down the road on extension talks?
For sure. I mean, the first thing you want to know, do you want to play hockey? And the answer to that was yes. So that was a positive for us, you know, like, and now we can look at everything else moving forward. But it was definitely, you know, it's been 2 years, you know, he seemed great, but you wanted to actually just hear him say it. And you didn't want to put pressure on him. You wanted to let him get through the season and then just have that conversation after it was over.
I'm curious what the exit meeting is like today with a guy like Connor Zary. He, you know, I know you guys had a little bit of a tougher meeting in the fall when he expressed some frustration that he was heading to join the Wranglers, obviously, you know, comes up and makes the most of the opportunity. What do you tell a kid like Connor today as you sort of balance the satisfaction with a great first season and then wanting to continue to push it forward?
Well, the thing is, we need him. Hey, you're here. You had a very, very good year, but we're going to need more. If we're going to get to where we want to go, you need to take a step up. And that means having a great summer. You know, you don't want to go home and, you know, enjoy yourself, have a good time, but then get back to work. You know, get back to work. You know what it's like in the NHL, the space, how fast guys are, the pace guys play with, the speed or the strength that guys have. Those are all things we need to still improve on. He's got the hockey sense. He's got good hands. We have to take it another level. And that's kind of the thing. You know, a lot of people say, well, why is there a sophomore slump? Because guys are so comfortable after the first year. I've made it. Take a deep breath. Exhale. Well, no. Now it's time to work harder, you know, to come back and be better so you can take that next step and then another one, you know, and it just takes time. So I do think he's got a great attitude. He's already, nope, this is when I'm starting to train. This is what I'm going to do. So he seems dialed in.
That part's got to be important because it can't just be management saying, hey, go have a great summer. It sounds like the internal motivation, and I know it's not just Connor, is certainly there.
Yeah, you know, you want all the guys, and obviously that's why we test at the beginning of the year and we test, you know, but we'll work with them even the whole summer. We'll keep tabs on them. Ricky, our strength coach, will be making sure everybody's, you know, on the right path, moving forward, and hopefully we have a, you know, we're going to have to need these guys moving forward. They need to be big parts of the team.
I want to ask you about a guy who we don't talk about all that often, but you acquire Daniil Miromanov at just before the trade deadline. I suppose he gets a pretty big opportunity playing with Mackenzie Weegar, playing a lot more minutes than he had previously in his NHL career. And on top of all that, he's trying to recover from a significant knee surgery. What were your impressions of him in his first couple of months in this city?
Well, it's funny. Even before that, he told me today was the day he had the surgery.
Oh, wow.
So it's 1 year today.
1 year, hey.
You know, and that's a tough surgery. So, you know, I think when we saw him in previous years, then this year, coming off the ACL, it's tough. So my expectation was I wanted to see how he did, but I didn't want to make him unrealistic. But I thought I was happy with the way he played. I mean, he was moving well, skating. I still think with a whole summer of training, getting stronger, you know, there's a lot more to my game than you just saw. So I'm excited. He's excited. He thinks, you know, last year he really couldn't do anything, you know, as far as training in the summer, and then, you know, come back and barely play. And really he hadn't played in the NHL much, but he's got a great attitude right now. You know, he knows he's going to give more. He thinks he's going to be much, much better player from what he learned just this last little, you know, 20 some games. And he loved playing with Mackenzie Weegar. I mean, he said it's easy to play with Mackenzie. So, you know, we expect a lot, and we're going to need him to take another step next year.
Just a few more with Craig Conroy, GM of the Calgary Flames, joining us here in the Hot Stove Lounge. You know, we asked Ryan Huska in here to talk about his relationship with you in year one, and he said, geez, for a first-year head coach, I don't know if there could have been anybody better than Craig Conroy to work with. What about you? That was your guy. That was your first big decision as general manager of the team to hire your next head coach. You know, what about working with Ryan in year one and the job that he did?
You know what? It was a pleasure. It really was. You know, the one thing it was working together. It wasn't a dictatorship or anything like that. Like he was, we'd talk back and forth. We had ideas. In the end though, like I tried to let Ryan coach and do what he wanted with this team, because in the end, that's his job, you know, so I try to stay out of it. When I had ideas, I'd throw ideas out there, whether he took them or not, all those, you know, was up to him, but it was a pleasure to work with him. You know, I think the attention to detail, what he wants to do, you know, the way he wants to play. I love his interviews. I like the way he treats the players. He did for a first year. I couldn't be more happy, to be honest. Like, you know, there's always things, there's probably things he wants to do differently. There's things that I want to do differently. I learned from, but it is a learning curve. You're going to make mistakes. Just like a young player is going to make mistakes. You're like, oh, okay, I won't do that again. But, you know, I thought our relationship was rock solid, you know, easy to communicate back and forth. And like I said, a pleasure to work with.
We're about 2 months from the draft, and we think it's going to be in Vegas. We're about two months away from the draft. Do you, like, on the outside, I hear it on the call-in show, I read it on the text line all the time, it's like, they got to nail this draft. I mean, you've been involved in drafts with this team since you became the assistant general manager a decade ago, but do you put any more pressure on this draft going into it, say, we've got to nail this one? Or is it just this? Because that's kind of how you always go into drafts, isn't it?
I want to nail every draft.
Yeah.
I want to nail every draft. You know, where did I make – what you're trying to do with the ones you didn't nail the drafts, where do we make the mistakes? How do we get better? Why did we miss on a player? We didn't like his skating. We didn't like – what didn't we like about him? Maybe his size. Maybe, you know, we had two wingers and we should have went another winger. Instead, we went with the defenseman. And then you look and you're like, well, we made the wrong choice on that one. You know, so you want to just dial in, you know, the whole thing is you want to have all the information. You don't want to be blindsided by anything. You want to go in and really have your list locked down. And then that way, if you want to move up or you want to, you know, especially having more picks, if there's an opportunity, it's hard to move up nowadays. People just don't want to do it. But, you know, But at least have those conversations and know, okay, is there an opportunity for us to move? If this guy's available, can we move up? And it's a fun time. I will admit that might be the most fun in this job, you know, the draft. But we want to nail every pick. And that's what I said. You know, it's not the first pick. You want to nail the last pick you have, too, and everything in between. I mean, you look at our fourth-round pick, Pospisil, this year.
Yeah.
That was our first pick in that draft, and it's been a real good pick. I mean, it took some time. Again, we have to be patient, and it takes a little time, but now you know what we thought he was going to be, here he is doing it.
Yeah.
It's exciting when you have something in your mind and then all of a sudden all these years later you see it on the ice, and it's exciting.
You'll have a good chunk of flexibility cap wise this summer, and whether it be trades, whether it be free agency, but safe to say in free agency, like, you're probably not looking long term. You're looking more in the short term variety as you head into free agency.
That's fair. I would say that's fair. I mean, just where we're at, what we're trying to do, locking in long contracts is, you know, probably doesn't make a lot of sense for us right now. Again, with that said, I'd never want to say never just because
right.
We're on the radio, but, you know, I would say you're right.
Do you, the term market inefficiency, is that something that you're maybe looking to take a look at and say, hey, you know, there's an undervalued player here that, you know, maybe isn't getting an opportunity due to depth or just whatever the circumstances may be? How big does that play into kind of the Sharon Govich type situation or Miramanov, like those type of players? How much of that plays into your offseason strategy again?
Yeah, I think, you know, sometimes people just get caught up in the names. We're trying to look at value, you know, who has some value, we believe has value, but maybe just they just can't get in a lineup. They can't get a role on their team. They can't get on the power play. I mean, I think that's where, you know, with Kuzmenko, even when we watch all his game, I mean, after our game, there's always a third period of the Canucks playing. So we'd always sit in the office waiting for the dome to clear out, and you'd watch those games and you saw the skill, you saw, and you know, it just wasn't a fit for him there this year in Vancouver. You know, it happens, but 39 goals, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're hoping, hey, okay, hey, we have an opportunity to bring in a really skilled guy, put him in a situation, and hopefully, you know, giving him an opportunity, he can get back to where he kind of was in Vancouver the year before when he didn't get ice time. He was being healthy scratched. You know, those are the guys you're looking for. You know, is there teams that just feel like, okay, it hasn't been a fit, we need to move on from this guy, and you know, he fits what we're looking for on our end.
Last one from me, and then Wes has got a really good one to close it up, but you come into this job and you had a ton on your plate that was just kind of there to begin with, and you had a lot of floor cleaning and fires to put out and all that type of stuff. You get through all that, and it feels like as you were doing that, it all was still like there was a theme in what you were trying to do, but you had to take care of all that. Do you feel like now as you go into this summer and this off season that it's kind of the first off season that you can put Craig Conroy's vision into place and you can really start to build the team in the vision you have for it, because you maybe had all those things to take care of first when you first took over the job?
You know, I think you're trying to put a little stamp on your team as you're doing things you have to do. But you're probably right. You know, you're thinking as, you know, our whole staff, we're trying to, like we always said, we're trying to build something here for the long term that consistently get into the playoffs, and as you get into the playoffs, eventually you're winning a Stanley Cup. So, you know, I do think with where we're at, we have more flexibility this year. We have more of I wouldn't say clean slate, but you know, there's still things we have to take care of, and that's every year you're going to have, but maybe not as busy as it was last year, even with just the coaching staff and staff in general. And then, you know, with the UFAs, though, those were, you know, and they were a lot of our top players.
Yeah.
You know, which was tough. And we lost Johnny and Tkachuk the year before. And, you know, you're bringing back players, you have new players coming. And so it's been a lot. But I do think, you know, where we want to go, we're still going. I'm not sure if it's exactly perfect yet, but it's still, we're getting there for sure.
Craig, I wanna wrap it with this, and just to give you the sort of background, this is a question we debated with Wilsey yesterday on our Daily Flames roundtable, and I asked Ryan Huska the same question, and now I'll throw it to you. We talked yesterday about what would you consider the most positive development of the season for the Flames from the general manager's vantage point. What's the most encouraging or positive development of 23-24?
You know, I think the young guys. For me, it's the young guys. You know, the Pospisils, Zari, Coronado, and Wolf. You know, and then all the and I feel like they were here the more, but all the other guys, you know, and I think the one thing, even in the minors, some of the guys that are there, unfortunately, you would have loved to have called up a few guys down the stretch that really deserved it, and you feel bad. You know, the one guy I feel real bad for is Pelche because of the injuries, and he looked so good in camp. He came in, his testing, the way he was skating, and like I said in my thing, he brings a speed element, but he also brings a real and youthful excitement to the locker room that is contagious, you know, and when things aren't going great, you can go down there and he's just got that energy and he's a buzz. And, you know, so I'm looking forward to seeing him have a great summer and coming back next year and ready to go. But I think it'd have to be for me was the young guys. And then other than that, to see some of our veterans just have career years, you know, it's in a tough year and never give up. And probably the last thing was the emergence of Backlund as the captain. And maybe that's the most important thing, you know, to watch him hold players accountable, to see him do what he was doing down there in your first year. He's like us, you know, that's his first year. He's going to take things he liked and things he didn't like, and then he's going to keep getting better. So, you know, we're all learning, you know, we're not perfect. We don't know all the answers. You know, we're going to make mistakes. I made mistakes this year, and, you know, moving forward, I'm going to kind of just correct them. And I think that's probably the same with backs. Okay. There's things I like, there's things I didn't like. And then, you know, how can we get better? And so, you know, backs is one of the guys I didn't talk to today because I want to sit down and talk to him. That one's going to be a lot longer,
right?
You know, just to see where, is there anything we can do in the organization better? You know, we're always, like I said, we're always trying to get better. We don't have all the answers. You know, I would like to do some of the trades that I hear on the radio every now and then. I would love those trades.
Why didn't Conroy do that?
Yeah, I've heard that. I said, is that? I'm like, is that available? I said,
I missed that one.
If that one was available, I was like, I literally in my car driving home, I'm like, I would love that trade. That would be a home run. I wouldn't even, don't worry. If those, some of those trades that were out there, if they were for real, I would have done them.
we'll try not to bug you for a little while.
No, thanks, that's Connie. All right. Thanks, guys.